The Tap.
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls. W228EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. While signing the Lake and Riley Act into law as this migrant crackdown rolls along, President Trump signs an order to use Guantanamo Bay as a migrant detention facility.
We have 30,000 beds in Guantanamo to detain the worst criminal illegal aliens threatening the American people. Some of them are so bad we don't even trust the countries to hold them because we don't want them coming back, so we're going to send them out to Guantanamo.
Cuba calls the plan an act of brutality. The White House Office of Management and Budget walks back a memo that ordered a freeze on federal grants and loans. It sent organizations and agencies that received federal dollars into a tizzy, trying to figure out if they were losing funding. CBS's Olivia Rinaldi says even with the memo rescinded,
the White House is saying that they are still moving forward with the federal funding freeze. That means that Trump's goal of really rooting out any of these, quote, pet projects within the federal government that do not align with his executive orders and his priorities will still be rooted out.
At his first confirmation hearing, Health and Human Services Secretary nominee Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is pressed by Democrats on statements he has made in the past on vaccines, COVID-19, and other topics. Senator Maggie Hassan, a Democrat from New Hampshire, asks,
when was it that you decided to sell out the values you've had your whole life in order to be given power by President Trump?
Senator, I agree with President Trump that every abortion is a tragedy.
RFK Jr. appears before the Senate Committee on Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions tomorrow. In Old Fort, North Carolina, some 24 miles east of Asheville, a wildfire that has prompted evacuation orders, which are still in effect, is now 5% contained. An estimated 200 acres have burned. Four cities in California's San Gabriel Valley are opposing a plan to process waste from the Eaton wildfire. CBS News Los Angeles' Rick Montanez is in Irwindale, near the park that's at the center of the battle. Now,
safety measures are in place, according to the EPA. Routine air testing will be done, and none of the hazardous material will ever touch the ground, according to the agency. On Monday, we can tell you EPA crews began clearing properties of hazardous materials like lithium-ion batteries from electric cars, your phones, laptops, and this was all at properties destroyed in the fire.
A couple of from West Virginia have been convicted on felony counts of child neglect, forced labor, human trafficking, and civil rights violations involving their five adopted children.
Gene Whitefeather and Donald Lance, who are white, were accused of mistreating the children, all of whom are black, by locking them in a shed, forcing them to sleep on the floor, use buckets as toilets, and perform difficult manual labor, among other things. At a press conference after the jury's verdict, the prosecutor said she cried as she heard the word guilty repeated again and again.
This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This is your local Civic Media radio station.
Want to hear even more? Anytime?
Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
A Packers coach interviews with the Jaguars. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NFL Packers linebackers coach Anthony Cappadelli has an interview for the defensive coordinator job of the Jacksonville Jaguars under new head coach Liam Cohen. Former Packers cornerback Al Harris hired by the Chicago Bears as a defensive backs coach. Harris has been an assistant for Andy Reid in Kansas City and the Dallas Cowboys under Mike McCarthy. College basketball, the Badgers on the road tonight in Maryland. Greg Garden, why the Badgers have now moved up to 17th in the rankings.
It's part system, it's part players, you know, that we got really good players that buy into it, love playing in it.
Marquette with a 78-69 win over Butler. NBA, the Bucks losing 125-117 to the Trailblazers in Portland.
I thought our offense was awful. I really did. I don't care if we were scoring. We didn't have the beautiful ball movement, next pass, hitting the open guy the entire night.
That's Bucks head coach Doc Rivers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. A forgotten actor joins the cast of a forgotten TV show. I always wondered why Jason Patrick never achieved bigger status as an actor. He always does solid work, and now will be doing it on a TV show that has been demoted from network TV to Peacock, but is part of a huge franchise known as Law & Order. Patrick, who is Jackie Gleason's grandson, will join Christopher Maloney in the cast of Law & Order Organized Crime for Season 5 as Detective Tom McKenna. There is no official date as to when Season 5 will drop. One of Pete's picks, A Complete Unknown. I'm not exactly going going out on a limb here, as it's Oscar nominated. The film follows Bob Dylan's transition from folk and the acoustic guitar to rock and playing a more electric sound. The narrative uses Dylan's music as a through line, starting with his arrival in New York at the age of 19. Three of the film's cast members, Timothy Chalamet, Edward Norton, and Monica Barbaro, are all nominated for Oscars. Definitely worth a look. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy and warm tonight, a low in the upper 20s. Mostly sunny, record warmth possible tomorrow, high upper 40s. Mostly sunny as we look into Friday, a high in the upper 30s. And staying mild as we look into the weekend, maybe a rain or snow shower. Current temp is 30.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time as things get cheesy for What's Worse, blue cheese or American cheese. The controversy continues. You weigh in. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good day to be indigenous. Get up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut. Hidden cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive. Because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. A Kadagi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. We discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Chujunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Jaga. This segment of Native Roots Radio is presented in partnership with Little Moments Count. Little Moments Count is a statewide collaborative focused on helping parents and caregivers learn about the importance of brain development in the first 3 years of life. As always, you can visit littlemomentscount.org for more info.
Right on. Hey, and we're so excited to partner with Little Moments Count for another year here on Native Roots Radio, where we host a monthly conversation with guests focused on early childhood development in our Native communities. And Haley, today we have one of our fan favorites on.
Yes, we do. Barb Faber is back, and Barb is the CEO of All Nations Rise and Indigenous Visioning. And Barb was on last time in November, I think. So Barb, thank you, Pina Gigi, for coming back on Native Roots Radio. How have you been?
Bonjour. Great. Been listening to your awesome shows since I've been on last. I always learn something.
Yes, us too. And it's great to have you on again. And a lot of moving parts here in Indian country these last 48 hours. And really since the last couple of weeks, it's red alert in a lot of ways. I know for our nation, we're talking about a lot of things right away and beforehand. But, you know, how does Trump's new DEI policies affect early childhood education?
Well, I think we just took three steps back, to tell you the truth. But I think that, you know, regardless of the new administration's policies, there's a lot that teachers can continue to do, is to expose our children to diversity and include them, you know, not narrowing policies so that, you know, children of all, you know, children from all backgrounds and incomes are allowed into programs. And you know, it's been we just got here, it seems like, and then all of a sudden we're going backwards. But again, we can't do too much about policies other than you know, keep voicing our concern with our legislators and continue to allow children in our classrooms to thrive.
Yeah, we're grateful too. There was an election now. The Senate has a one vote advantage in the Democrats here in Minnesota. That just came out yesterday or early today. So they replaced the head that passed away. So now we're at 51-50. So that's good here in Minnesota. But nationally, we need to really keep vigilant on what's going on in the policy and can't really fall asleep behind the wheel. How do they foresee these changes impacting early childhood, you know, especially education? You know, it's something that really is, like you mentioned, we really have to stay vigilant. And in your view, how does exposure to diverse and inclusive environments in early childhood education help shape children in their identities and sense of belonging?
Well, not only does creating greater multicultural awareness and inclusion helps our students, you know, with their own identity, and it prepares them for a life, you know, a global view. You know, when they leave school or enter into K-12, you know, there's going to be children from all backgrounds. And typically children see that, you know, in rural areas, we don't see as much of the diversity. But when our children go into K-12 and college and go to work, you know, in the workforce, they're going to be working alongside people from all backgrounds. You know, we want them to be prepared and how to be respectful and how to be respected if you're a person of color. And, you know, DEI to me is something we should all be instilling, you know, in our own children, in our own classrooms. And it's just something that's helping children, you know, children who grow up with a very narrow view of the world have a really hard time in adulthood and dealing with diversity. And so I think every teacher, every preschool teacher, childcare provider knows that. And so they, you know, they work really hard to ensure that children, all children in the classroom, you know, are respected, you know, they understand and respect each other. And it's just, you know, it's just human. It's called humanity, you know, right, for the world.
Yeah. You know, a particularly concerning social attitudes and values that if the young ones aren't exposed to it, it's not good for the society in whole.
Right. You know, it encourages acceptance and helps them, you know, just helps them throughout life. And, you know, if you don't teach that, you know, they're going to just imagine, you know, your child or your grandchild, you know, being very exclusive and, you know, a very narrow tunnel of view of the world, you know, and all of a sudden they find themselves out into the world. So, and they're going to have a very challenging time. So, you know, just about, you know, before DEI really came a thing in last, you know, few years, mm-hmm. That we all, you know, applauded that it was finally recognized as a thing. And, but all childcare teachers and, you know, childcare, Head Start, they include cultural awareness into their classroom. So, mm-hmm. you know, it's not something new for us. But we were happy to see that DEI, really does, you know, it advocates for children who may be coming from, you know, a different background, different social status or whatever, you know, economic status. And so, I don't know, it's just, it's something that we've always done. So I hopefully don't see a whole lot changing in early childhood.
Right. Yeah. Well, hey, I want to remind everyone we're here with Barb Fabre, and she is the CEO of Indigenous Visioning and All Nations Rise. And we're talking about early childhood and the first 1,000 days, basically, of our young ones here. And we have a conversation once a month here with, you know, Little Moments Count, and it's really important. And Barb, I don't know if you know this, before we go to the next segment, I'll let you ferment on this in the break, is that we have our grandchildren over here on Wednesday and Thursday, and they're 6 months old. And I think of a lot of our conversations as we talk to them and meet with them and play with them. So this is really timely conversation for me and a lot of people listening to the show. All right. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and we'll be right back, Haley, after this show, after this quick break.
Ooh, stay with us.
I heard sex trafficking happens a lot in Indian country. What is that?
Here are some of the real reasons why sex trafficking happens in Indian country. Unequal gender roles that were forced on us by colonization. Communities don't have enough resources. Silence around domestic and sexual violence. Lack of attention and justice for missing and murdered Indigenous people. There's a lot of behavior that keeps our communities out of balance. These are just a few true reasons why Native communities are targeted by traffickers. When these acts of violence happen in our communities, it opens us all up for exploitation.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Your heart beats for generations. Take care of it.
There's a lot that we can do to take care of ourselves. And so I think it's important to take the smaller steps and break it down into more manageable pieces, because the little steps leads to big changes.
Every beat of your heart tells a story of love, resilience, and hope. For Indigenous women, taking care of your heart means creating more moments with the ones you cherish. Let's protect that story. Learn more at hennepin.us/heart-beats.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Support comes from the Walker Arts Center.
Winter evenings may be dark, but the skies shine with stars. Join the Walker this February for pop-up planetarium experiences. First Nations astronomer Wilfred Buck Cree will lead a guided experience focused on Indigenous star lore and celestial traditions on February 13th. Gallery admission is free every Thursday night and free every day for members and citizens of tribal nations. Learn more at walkerart.org. That's walkerart.org.
Oh, this is Dallas Goldtooth, and you're listening to the Native Roots Radio. Hoka Hicha Wicha.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This segment of Native Roots Radio is presented in partnership with Little Moments Count. Nearly 80% of brain growth happens in the first 1,000 days, and small moments of interaction like talking, playing, reading, and singing help create the pathways that build a child's brain during these early stages of life. For more information, you can visit littlemomentscount.org.
Hey, we're here with Barb Fabre, a CEO of Indigenous Visioning and All Nations Rise, and she's an enrolled member of White Earth Ojibwe Nation in the northwest corner of Minnesota. And we're talking a little bit about how Trump's new DEI policies affect early childhood education. And one of the questions I have is, how might the absence of accommodations for disabilities under the new policies impact educators and students in early childhood settings?
Yeah, great question. And just before we broke, you talked about your grandchildren, and They're just beautiful. I see pictures of them, and I'm expecting my sixth one, or we are expecting our sixth one in a couple of weeks. So we're super excited about that. Back to your question. You know, exposure to children, diversity is just going to help our children. I mean, you know, reading books, you know, doing any kind of lesson plans around diversity, people with disabilities, children with disabilities. Those are going to help prepare our children. And I just can't stress that enough. I know these policies don't make sense to us adults, and they definitely don't make sense to our little ones. But we can, stay diligent in our DEI efforts that we've always done. And we just continue fighting for that diversity and inclusion and equity. But parents, child care providers, Head Start providers, preschool teachers, all of them, they read books, they create activities, they teach empathy. They try to bring in, exposure to children from who may not be in the classroom. Just creating safe spaces for children to talk about diversity. And that's pretty much all we can do right now. It's something we've been doing for years, but, right now, I think it's just as important just to keep on and being more vigilant on that.
Yeah, maternity leave policies can significantly impact parent and child well-being. How do you see these policies affecting Indigenous families and their traditional practices regarding childbearing?
Well, to me, if DEI policies, when they came around and they're implemented in the state and federal government are trying to include more DEI, that means that more children of color are going to be able to get into schools, get into, special schools or special programs or whatever it be, and they get the scholarships. Because we're so underrepresented in those fields that, this just brought us three steps back. But we just, need to stay on course. And many of the teachers, in my experience, they use respectful language when they're talking about policies and administration and the president and things like that. But, you absolutely have to also talk about some of the not so nice stuff that the president and policies do when age appropriate, of course. And I don't feel that we should be sugarcoating anything that comes out of this administration. I think people need to understand what the impact of taking away DEI in our systems means for people and the underrepresented children in programs. So, we just, I can't stress enough to make sure and prioritize DEI in lesson plans. Celebrate diversity within your home, within the classroom, with our early childhood programming, and recognize contributions that Indigenous peoples have made to society and health and all of that.
Exactly. And we have a lieutenant governor that's
yes.
Indigenous. We have state senators and representatives, school teachers, lawyers, and we need to accentuate those to our little ones that that know that, they can be whatever they want to be.
Absolutely. Much like little moments count, the brain development is so important for, 0 to 5 that, those are the perfect years to expose our children to diversity and empathy and people with, that are different from us. And it'll last with them for the rest of their life, as long as they aren't taught something different, because children aren't born seeing colors of people, right. They aren't. They're taught that. They're taught racism and bigotry and all of that. So, you know, they're fresh brains, they're brand new brains, and that 0 to 5 is so critical. So along with, you know, brain development, we have to make sure that diversity awareness is in there.
Yeah, and it's important for the parents and caregivers, you know, that are first thousand days, you know, it's to see and to hear and to talk to them correctly in a good way, in a compassionate way about our differences, but also that we all put our pants on or diapers, depending on how old you are. And I guess I'm going to get close to wearing diapers again here in a few years, but, you know, to not look down on them and join the circle and, you know, with all the people, you know.
You know, really, and we've worked so hard to get where we are, you know, dealing with the boarding school era and what that did to us in generations. And here we are trying to get our language back and our culture back, you know, with our kiddos. And, you know, then you have an administration that takes, you know, takes away some of that equity that we've built up all this time. But we can't let it get us down. You know, we are fortunate to be in Minnesota with our governor and lieutenant governor. And, you know, that gives me a sense of safety that they're going to continue to make Minnesota a very diverse and welcoming state.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and definitely. And, you know, us talking about it with you and Little Moments Count and all our guests that come on, and to stay awake and, you know, and not be intimidated by this. And we know in 2 years, it could be a total different landscape with the Senate and the House, and he could end up being a lame duck and things. Well, I mean, the last time too, the only real law that he passed through Congress was a tax break for the billionaires. And so hopefully we sue him and keep him on his toes and fight back and talk about important things like early childhood development and not get derailed by all this this BS that's coming down. So, you know, judges are stopping things, attorney generals are stopping things, and we just gotta stay vigilant as adults for our young ones.
Absolutely. You're 100% right. And, you know, as long as we are doing our part as parents and grandparents, and, you know, we support our early childhood professionals to do the same, you know, our kids will hopefully turn out just fine. And, you know, as long as we teach it at home and, you know, we just hope that in K-12, they continue to try to do things as well. I don't know how much DEI is going to go into the, you know, K-12 system and what that means for them. You know, there's a lot of unknowns with this administration, and just 2 weeks into it, we're seeing some pretty shocking stuff. So
Yeah, absolutely. We're winding up here with our monthly segment with Little Moments Count. We're here with Barb Fabre. And Barb, how can people get a hold of you? You know, Haley and I always talk about those Indigenous boxes and how mm-hmm. that you guys
yeah.
do. So let our listeners out there know how we can get a hold of you, and if there's a Facebook or a website, they can see the great work that your organization does.
Sure. You know, Indigibox is exactly what we're trying to do, is bring cultural diversity into the classroom, and not just cultural diversity, but authentic and accurate cultural diversity. And you can find me at www.indigenousvisioning.com for Indigibox.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
CBS News briefed. President Trump signs a memorandum to send migrants to the same country where 9/11 detainees were held.
An executive order to instruct the Departments of Defense and Homeland Security to begin preparing the 30,000-person migrant facility at Guantanamo.
Border czar Tom Homan says U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement would run the facility. An about-face from the White House Office on Management and Budget as it rescinds an order to freeze nearly all government spending. CBS's Danya Backus says President Trump defends the pause.
The directive would have affected states, schools, and organizations that rely on trillions of dollars from Washington.
Robert F. Kennedy Jr. faces senators in the first public hearing of his confirmation process to be Secretary of Health and Human Services. After questioning RFK Jr., Democratic Senator Mark Warner of Virginia tells reporters,
"There's no way I'd hire Mr. Kennedy to be Secretary of Health and Human Services."
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
A Packers coach interviews with the Jaguars. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NFL Packers linebackers coach Anthony Campanelli has an interview for the defensive coordinator job of the Jacksonville Jaguars under new head coach Liam Cohen. Former Packers cornerback Al Harris hired by the Chicago Bears as a defensive backs coach. Harris has been an assistant for Andy Reid in Kansas City and the Dallas Cowboys under Mike McCarthy. College basketball, the Badgers on the road tonight in Maryland. Greg Garden, why the Badgers have now moved up to 17th in the rankings.
It's part system, it's part players, you know, that we got really good players that buy into it, love playing in it.
Marquette with a 78-69 win over Butler. NBA, the Bucks losing 125-117 to the Trailblazers in Portland.
I thought our offense was awful. I really did. I don't care if we were scoring. We didn't have the beautiful ball movement, next pass, hitting the open guy the entire night.
That's Bucks head coach Doc Rivers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The Night Agent is a show we've talked about periodically on Nightlight. The second season just dropped on Netflix, and lots of people seem to be finding it. The spy drama drew 14 million viewers in its first 5 days, and according to TheWrap.com, landed in the top 10 most viewed shows in 90 countries. The plot finds an FBI agent sitting in a room in the basement of the White House monitoring a phone that supposedly never rings. Until it does, and a conspiracy unfolds. Great premise, and a pretty good show. If you like heist films, you might enjoy the film Den of Thieves 2, Pantera. Gerard Butler is back playing Big Nick, an L.A. County Sheriff's detective, in the follow-up to the first Den of Thieves from 2018. O'Shea Jackson Jr. is also back as bad guy Donnie Wilson, trying to evade Big Nick, who tracks him across Europe. Jackson's character disappeared at the end of Den of Thieves 1, leaving the story ripe for sequel. The film could be 15 minutes shorter, but does deliver with some high-speed thrills and gunfights through beautiful settings in Europe. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy and warm tonight, a low in the upper 20s. Mostly sunny, record warmth possible tomorrow, high upper 40s. Mostly sunny as we look into Friday, a high in the upper 30s. And staying mild as we look into the weekend, maybe a rain or snow shower. Current temp is 30.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
"When the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out."
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Seems everywhere in the state, housing has just gotten so expensive. Our current president ran on promises to help the middle class, and I'd like to know what he's going to do about the housing shortages. I went through the executive orders. I read through the speech transcript a couple of times. Nothing he really said or did in the first couple days has anything to do with helping the middle class.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Dom Selvia.
Next time, former U.S. Attorney James Santel will break down the litany of executive orders and memos. Also, what are your rights as a U.S. citizen if you get nabbed by ICE? Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
This is Leonard Peltier. I am in
listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Hey, we have our friend, Dr. Stately, President and Executive Officer of Native American Community Clinic here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis, and it's great to see you, and it's almost comforting to see you too, because there's so many things going on that we need to talk about, and we have been talking about here on Native Roots Radio, and yesterday was earth-shattering for my nation and my government job, and to see what was happening and how quickly things could go awry for our funding. Welcome, Dr. Stately, and good to see you.
Bonjour. Thank you for the invitation. I appreciate it. Happy to be here.
Yeah, great to see you. was thinking about you, too, and how does this federal funding ban affect community health and centers like Native American Community Clinic?
Oh, it'll have a big, huge impact. You know, I mean, it's quite demonstrably, you know, it's a, like a, it's a, like an equivalent to a torpedo, right, to, like, you know, the most critically needed communities across the nation, right? So not just our Native nations, but, you know, any of the communities and any of the folks that sort of really rely heavily on, you know, the commitments and the that the government has made to sort of support, you know, their health and their well-being. For us as Native people, of course, that commitment is embedded in centuries long treaty obligations that they have made with nations to, you know, to take care of us, and to, you know, in the exchange for ceded land, or in some cases unceded land, they made commitments to continue to support Indigenous communities, Native communities. Part of that is this federal obligation that that includes healthcare, education, you know, a number of things. How it ends up impacting my community is, or my clinic specifically that serves the South Minneapolis Native community, it has huge impact. It's going to have huge impact. I mean, first of all, it was chaotic, right? We were oddly enough, you know, it's this memo, there's been like two or three memos that have been circulated. It wasn't really helpful, I think, to get the tweet that the press secretary, his new press secretary, her name is Caroline Leavitt, saying, like, you know, the federal funding ban is still in place. We're just pulling the memo. A strategy, yeah. I think, that they provided to seemingly, I mean, it's, for me, it's kind of like, I'm like, well, who is that? They have lawyers over there helping them. You know, this idea that, oh, we're just going to rescind the memo, and somehow the order will still stand. It's like, well, or maybe the federal judge will just kind of like say, oh, they rescinded the memo, so let's just ditch the case. I don't know what their thought processes are, but it's like this is the equivalent to like being part of a member of a really chaotic family where there's, you know, the left hand doesn't talk to the right hand, the right hand speaks without thinking. You know, there's just really a tremendous amount of challenges across. And NAC isn't the only healthcare center impacted by this. There's 17,000 or so community health centers across the nation that serve their communities and provide critically important primary care and other health services to people living in their communities from cradle to grave. And, you know, it's very upsetting and disturbing to me. You know, you didn't waste a lot of time, which, you know, the other part of it for me is I've had some time to think about it this week, because I haven't actually been going to the office. I've been sick since Tuesday, the day after we buried my grandmother. But the thing is that it's obvious And what's really interesting and what's very obvious is that, you know, once again, you know, this president, when he wasn't, before he was, voted in, walked back certain things. He did talk about how he was not, he didn't know a whole lot about the Project 2025. He didn't know about these things. Yeah. He was, disavowing himself. And yet, like the first week, it's literally the first week he's in office, he's starting to enact all those things that they talked about in Project 2025. He's starting to do with all of those things. So, it's just like frustrating to be, under the rule of law of somebody. He doesn't follow the law. So under a president who doesn't respect the law, who doesn't, tell the truth, who is not an honorable person, most of the time, often. And it's also challenging to be in the space where you just don't, like, it's chaos. It's like what he thrives on is chaos. He creates chaos, confusion, mm-hmm. and he thrives on that. He gets he gets everybody worked up and people discombobulated so that they can kind of like not pay attention to these other things. They're like, what I'm waiting for is what the next shoe is that's going to drop that he's going to try to accomplish mm-hmm. and get through by having everybody's attention pay attention to this thing. So that's what he's a distractor. I think he thinks of himself as a disruptor. I think the people that voted him in think of him as a disruptor, always a disruptor. And like, that's a good thing. And that's what we need to do. We need to shake things up. Well, there's a difference between shaking things up and being disruptor, challenging policies and practices and a few other things that with precision that have create problems in our society, but to just like drop an atomic bomb and walk away and say like, okay, on to the next thing. That's disingenuous and that is actually quite irresponsible.
Yeah. Did you hear our governor said yesterday that basically they don't know what the heck they're doing there. You can see that and tell by what they're doing because nobody has the answers when they're asked any questions directly. And it was great.
It's like his first administration all over again. Mm-hmm. Right. And I haven't really shared this a whole lot, but I was sworn in to Presidential Advisory Board Council a couple days before you took office. And when I submitted my materials, I assumed I was going to be serving a different president. And so I have to make some decisions about whether or not I'm going to stay on the council. Maybe he'll make the decision for me. Maybe he'll see that I'm a Democrat. Maybe he'll see that I'm outspoken, that I challenge him and I say things, I speak the truth, and he'll just, take me off the council, which will be fine with me as well.
It's interesting that with the Republicans pretending that they don't know what's going on or he's not going to live forever. He's 79 or 78 and he's not in good health, and they're going to leave when he passes on. These people are going to be left with all this mess too on the Republican side. So it's amazing what's happening. And ahead.
No, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think it's not in my value system to wish that somebody would die. it's not part of my value system. But I will tell you that I'm not really going to miss him a whole lot. And I think the other thing this is, I think, what is important is that, he counts on, so like you can see like the Democratic Party when the first few weeks of his, leading up to this, and even like in the first week, last week of him sort of being in office, and even as they started to start the hearings for some of the people that were going to be in the administration, somewhat of a, I wouldn't call it a, you know, I was like, you know, where the hell's Nancy Pelosi? She'd be like, you know, all over this. But I was just like, we have some work to do in the Democratic Party for sure. The Democrats do. We have some work to do across our nation on a number of things. I think there's a good number of people who are Republicans, who are registered Republicans, who may have voted for him. I think there's a number, I read a lot of the information about like his victory, and, you know, because I was perplexed as well as most people. But I think one of the things that is challenging and problematic to me is like how many young African-American men specifically, how many young people voted for him. I know, you know, I know a handful of people who are indigenous who voted for him. You know, some people I know personally, and maybe even a couple of relatives. I mean, I've had some, I remember the first administration, I had a big fight with an uncle about him, a discussion, which ended in us not following each other on Facebook anymore, and, you know, and such. But I think the thing is that I think there's a lot of people that don't really actually quite know what he does. I don't think that, I think there's not a lot of people that understand, you know, I mean, where we are at right now in 2025 and our civics are, and the amount of knowledge that young people understand about civics and they understand about government and how government works and the separations of state of powers between the three entities of government. They don't know a lot of that, a lot about that and how that works. And they also don't know, you know, how, what it means to elect somebody who doesn't have any experience, running governmental, systems and offices, that a person who of this magnitude could do such damage. They don't understand that.
Hey, we're here with Dr. State Lee, President and Executive Officer at Native American Community Clinic, and we're talking about a few things. And one of the things before we take a break here is that we are now paying for all those years of football coaches teaching humanities and social studies. We'll be right back after Native Roots Radio.
Everything, plus the kitchen sink. Life math is complicated. Affinity Plus makes it easier. With great rates on a home equity line of credit, we make tackling home projects less stressful. Visit affinityplus.org/rates to learn more today. Affinity Plus Federal Credit Union, insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Lender.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Hi, my name is Katty from Minnesota Recovery Connection. We'd like you to listen to our show, Redefining Recovery, A Recovery Revolution. It is on Saturdays at 10 a.m. on AM 950. On this week's show, I will be joined by Jennifer Oh and our shared experience as adult children of alcoholics and how it has shaped both of us in our adulthood. Listen to Redefining Recovery Saturdays at 10 a.m. and find our podcast on your favorite app.
Do you have a vehicle you no longer need? Are you a little cash-strapped? Rudy Luther Toyota will pay you for your used vehicle. It's really simple. Head to RudyLutherToyota.com, answer a few simple questions, and Rudy Luther Toyota will get you an instant offer. Then they will set up an appointment, and after a quick verification, they will handle all the paperwork and coordinate getting you your check. It's that simple. It's a fast way for you to get rid of the vehicle you no longer need, putting money in your hands. For more information, head to RudyLutherToyota.com. That's RudyLutherToyota.com.
Aneen, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations. Howl!
Hey, we are here with Dr. Stately and President and Executive Officer of Native American Community Clinic here. Good to see you, Dr. Stately. It's been a while. And, you know, we're in our ninth season here on the air, and you are a huge part of it. And I just want to bring that up again and say a big peeny geegy for spending time with us and talking about these issues that really matter to Indian country, but also to our allies that listen to the show. And so I appreciate you. Just want to say that on air, and my fingers weren't crossed, and or you can't see
them. Were your ankles
yeah.
crossed?
Yeah, they always are. It's comfy.
Anyway, thank you so much. That's really kind of you. I appreciate it. I'm generous. I was going to also say before we left that I think one of the things that's funny, I mentioned this. So, like, you know, like we're in the, he talks about like how he's going to, you know, make food affordable for you. Like he's going to take care of the everyday, he's going to take care of and address the everyday needs of everyday Americans and make sure that they get the things that they need, right? Food, housing. The price of gas is going to be more, you know, actually the price of gas is fine now, but, you know, food, eggs, good Lord, bring the cost of eggs down. I don't know what you need to do, like import some from Mars or something, but, you know, the price of eggs is killing me. But also like things like, you know, he was going to, and he talks about, you know, with precision, he's going to take care of the waste that happens in the federal government, and those kinds of things, right? And I found it ironic that he sort of kind of, you know, states this platform, and then he does all of the things that actually are the opposite of what he said he was going to do, which is, you know, like I don't know how many people he understands, like, so not just the federal workers that he talked about like getting rid of, but also the by freezing federal dollars. Do you have any idea how many hundreds of millions, literally hundreds of millions of people rely on federal funding for their jobs to pay right. their mortgages and to pay their, you know, to feed their children and to feed, you know, and to, you know, be civically engaged, right? And then the other part of that is that, you know, right on Tuesday, yesterday, we were in the middle of our operational site visit that we have to do every 3 years through our funded project, the NAC is the designated FQHC, Federally Qualified Healthcare Center, through a HRSA grant, Health Resources and Services Administration grant. So we are required to do an operational site visit and have somebody come and look through all of our stuff and meet with us and examine us closely and make sure that we're meeting compliance as it's articulated in the Federal Register, the federal guidance around community health centers, right? So in the middle of that process, we finish our first day. We're about to embark on this. Now, this takes us weeks, several weeks, maybe months, to prepare for and to get ready for, on top of all the other work we have to do in running our clinic, right? And so he releases that thing, and at the end of the day, we're getting prepared for the next day. And what do? We get a phone call from the person who's the lead reviewer. We're on our way back to Washington tomorrow, or we're back to our homes. We're being called back. All reviews and all these other things have been canceled by the federal government due to this order. Wow. So it's like, it was like, we were all perplexed. We're like, okay, well, we get like not sending more people out later. We get, you know, it's like, but to just be so wantonly you know, it's the opposite of what he says. I'm going to do this with precision. I'm going to do this, you know, and what his vice president said, right? So these things, they're not doing these things with precision.
Right.
They're doing, you know, they're causing chaos and a lot of confusion. They're causing a lot of worry and concern, tremendous stress in communities. And you know, I think that he doesn't have an ounce of compassion. That's the problem here. Like we would, you know, half of the electorate elected a president who has no compassion for other human beings.
Right.
He doesn't even see them as human beings.
Mm.
Yeah. So that is fundamentally the problem here. And I think, sadly, it's the beginning of, you know, we only have, I don't know how much 365 times 4 is. Maybe you have that much, you know, memorized in your head as a teacher. But, you know, we only have another 1,000 days of this left. So that, you know, 1,200 and some days. I can't imagine it's going to be too much different.
Well, hopefully it's only 600 because the Democrats could win the House and Senate again after in 2 years, and then he'll be a lame duck. And that's what we're hoping for right now, is to keep him busy and keep suing him and keep not passing his bills. The only bill he passed this first time around was giving the billionaires a tax break, and that was the only bill that he passed.
I think the thing is like, so, I mean, you know, I mean, if the worst thing that we can call him is a lame duck president, I mean, you know, I mean, I have a few more choice words for him than that. But, you know, I'm happy to call him a lame duck, you know.
Right. Well, you can't do that until we get on, you know, a serious radio. Then we can have a real discussion when we're on serious. We can swear and
like
stuff.
Like serious the platform, you mean? Or you don't think this is a serious conversation?
Hey, now, don't analyze my jokes, darn it. That's keep this moving here.
Anyway, right, I think I'm going to be doing a press conference here on Friday and talk a little bit with some folks about the impact that this will have on NAC, specifically in the South Minneapolis community. You know, and it's going to, you know, the impact that it will have on NAC in South Minneapolis, which is, by the way, you know, the poorest place with the least resources in Minneapolis, in the county of Hennepin, right? There is no other place really where Native people die at a more rapid rate from opioid overdoses than Minneapolis. NAC has partnered with researchers to do it. To look at county level reports on death related to opioid overdoses, and found that rate is the highest in South Minneapolis. And, you know, we have some of the highest rates of houselessness in South Minneapolis. Our community mirrors so many other communities all across the nation, right? The community that my clinic serves is similar to the community that in Seattle. I know I went there. It's similar to the communities in Los Angeles and other. There's similar in lots of ways in terms of the things we're challenged by. In different ways, we're challenged by them, but we're still challenged by the issue, right? Which is, you know, mental health, substance use, opiate overdoses, drug trafficking, human trafficking. You know. All these things that make it very, very difficult for us to maintain health and well-being, right? Those things are going to be impacted by this, because the federal dollars that have been allocated and pledged to solve those problems are now being under attack, right?
Yep.
So, you know, and I think a lot of this has to do with the fact that, you know, the Republicans ran, him and the rest of his Republicans ran on this idea that we're going to figure out how to stop the border and do all these other things, and not make the economy go further into debt. Well, when he was a sitting president, left us with the highest level of debt ever, right? And this isn't going to reduce the debt. This is going to create a crisis and more problems, right? There's really no money to. It's just chaos. It's crazy. Irresponsible.
Dr. Stadley, thanks for coming on and speaking your truth. And I know it's important that we talk to our listeners this way, so we all stay vigilant and we don't get into fatigue about what's happening. We have to stay vigilant and we have to stay on top of things. So a big peeny geeky, thank you for coming on.
Jimmy Gwich. See you next week.
Right on. Hey, if you're listening to the show, you're part of the resistance. We are the resistance experts. We're still here.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matt Nair on Air.
Jane Matt Nair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Angela Lang from Block Black Leaders Organizing Communities joins me to talk about not good test scores coming out of the city of Milwaukee. Join us.
Matt Nair on Air, weekday mornings at 10.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Where are you at with dome stadiums?
Oh, love them. Snow games are awesome, but it's also a risk of injuries and everything.
Give me a dome anytime. I don't want to see elite athletes running on snow like it's me playing out there and tripping and slipping. I want to watch those guys run. I want the receivers to run and catch their passes. I want to see great athletes being great athletes.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap,
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President Trump's budget office has rescinded a memo on freezing federal spending after it triggered widespread confusion and legal challenges. The president has defended the cuts.
We are merely looking at parts of the big bureaucracy where there has been tremendous waste and fraud and abuse.
Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has faced tough questions from senators during the Health and Human Services Secretary nominee's first confirmation hearing. Kennedy is facing scrutiny over his views on abortion and vaccines and was heckled.
News reports have claimed that I'm anti-vaccine or anti-industry. I am neither. I am pro-safety.
The asteroid samples brought back by a spacecraft hold the building blocks for life, according to study author Tim McCoy with the National Museum of Natural History.
And those minerals are rich in sodium and carbon and phosphorus and chlorine and fluorine, and they testify to an ancient salty brine in Bennu.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.